Less than an hour ago, New York Times reporter Judith Miller was taken into police custody after a federal court judge ordered her to serve a jail sentence for contempt of court. Miller has continued to refuse to reveal her sources in the Valerie Plame leak case. The ongoing grand jury investigation into whether anyone in the White House broke the law by revealing to reporters Plame's identity as a CIA operative. The investigation has become focused on Miller and Matthew Cooper of Time magazine, who both refused to name their sources. After losing a Supreme Court appeal last week, Time magazine turned over Cooper's notes, and today Cooper himself avoided jail by agreeing to testify, saying his source had personally and explicitly given him permission. Shortly after the ruling, Bill Keller, executive editor of the New York Times, faced the microphones.
This is a chilling conclusion to an utterly confounding case. It's confounding because of the mystery about exactly what crime has been committed and what exactly the special prosecutor hopes to accomplish by the draconian act of punishing an honorable journalist. It's chilling because it's likely to serve future cover-ups information that happens in the recesses of government and other powerful institutions. I think that anybody who believes that the government and other powerful institutions should be closely and aggressively watched should feel a chill up their spine today.
To learn more about these developments, we turn now to Tom Rosenstiel, the director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. He joins us from his home in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Thanks for being with us, Tom.
Hi, Lynn.
Are you surprised by this ruling?
No, I mean, the prosecutor and the judge had tipped their hand numerous times. This is sort of glacial in its approach. And I think we even had a sense that last week when, after the Supreme Court ruled, Time Inc.'s editor-in-chief, Norm Perlstein, handed over documents against the wishes of his reporter, Matt Cooper. And I think we had a pretty clear sense that Matt Cooper would probably then capitulate as well, or he'd be out on his own and facing the legal costs themselves. There was never any indication or hint that the New York Times would buckle. They have a long history of standing up to this, and when the judge on Tuesday indicated that the documents that Time Inc. had handed over were insufficient, and that Cooper, he still wanted Cooper to testify, I think there was a sense that this was probably going to be the result, that he was going to order these people to jail if they didn't.
Well, what do you make of the fact that the two journalists took two very different routes here?
Well, and that's, I think, one of the things that's significant. I mean, there are three things about this case that are different. One is how aggressive the prosecutor, the special prosecutor, has been. The other is this technique that he's used of getting going to all the potential sources and forcing them to sign waivers release reporters from any confidentiality agreements. And the third distinction, and maybe the most recent and important, is that the press was not uniform in their response. Time Inc. historically has withstood this kind of pressure from courts, and this was a change for them to say we're going to succumb. And so now, the uniform wall that the press has offered that there's only one response to these kinds of things is broken in this case, not only because a variety of reporters earlier agreed to testify when these agreements were waived in front of them, but because Time Inc. Gave in when the Supreme Court refused to hear the case.
We are talking about the ruling in the case of journalists Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tom Rosenstiel is with us, and joining us now is Carol Lenig. She's joining us from the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. She's a court reporter for The Washington Post, and she was at the hearing today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
What was the reaction there when this decision was announced? What was the atmosphere there?
Well, remember, it's a courtroom filled to the brim with primarily reporters and reporters' attorneys. And so you might have had a slightly self-interested party in the number of people that were there, the kind of people that were there. But really, it was a lot of drama because Matt Cooper announced to many, the surprise of many, that he had had a last-minute morning phone call from the source who is identified in his notes and who is the subject of Fitzgerald's inquiry. And that source said he personally, individually waived Matt of his responsibility to keep his promise, and he gave him his pledge that he could speak to the grand jury and not face the penalty of going to jail. That was a dramatic moment. There were a lot of sighs. There was also some surprise at Judith Miller being stood back, as it said in court parlance, and taken out the back entrance of the courtroom like any criminal defendant who can't post bond or has just been convicted of a crime, being ordered by the judge to go to jail until such time as she agrees to discuss her confidential sources in the grand jury investigation.
Is there a cap on the amount of time she can spend in jail for this?
There is. In civil matters, you typically serve the amount of time that the grand jury investigating the case is in session, and the length of those is usually 18 months. In this case, the court was extended from May to October, and it ends October 28th. So based on Judith's proclamation that she will never reveal her source, as she said to the judge and reminded him today, she will be there until that time.
Do you know where she's going to jail?
The U.S. Marshal's Office, in concert with the judge, makes a determination about where that will be. The judge made clear he wants her close to the grand jury investigation and so close to his court. D.C. jail is not where he's asked for her to go, but it looks like she will likely be in a detention facility in Arlington or Alexandria as the U.S. Marshal sees fit.
Did Matthew Cooper make any statement after the hearing?
He did, during and after. He said it was a horrible day. Some reporters offered him congratulations on avoiding jail, and he said no congratulations are due here. He talked about being miserable and in agony. He said he was with Judy 100% on the argument that the waiver that government and the Justice Department hand out to government employees is not a voluntary waiver, and it's not one he could have accepted. But he said he was essentially saved by his source coming forward personally, calling him, telling him, you're free to speak to the grand jury.
Carol, thanks so much for joining us today.
No, thank you.
Carol Lenning is court reporter for The Washington Post, and she joined us from the U.S. District Court in Washington. Tom Rosenstiel, how does this affect journalists in the future?
Well, I think that it's going to affect them a couple of ways. First of all, it's going to embolden prosecutors, judges who want to be aggressive against the press because they won to a large degree. Secondly, I think the fact that Time Inc. And reporters from the New York Times, from NBC News and other news organizations agreed to sort of play along with these waivers is going to cause other news organizations in the future to think twice about whether they should hold the line and protect confidential sources. The thing that where the rubber meets the road here is that when a reporter says to a source, I'll protect you, I'll grant you confidentiality, some sources, particularly those who don't know these reporters well, are going to say, well, I'm not sure you can live up to that word because your company may not back you or they may do these waiver things. You know, a lot of reporters don't go to jail to live up to that anymore. I'm not sure I can believe you.
Was Matthew Cooper, do you think, under pressure from Time Magazine to...
Well, one would have to think that once Time Magazine decided that it was going to hand over the documents and argued in its own explanations that they were doing this because Time is not above the law and that to comply with the law, they had to succumb to the order, that going to jail was not somehow complying with the law. I think it put Matt in a very difficult spot, and I think a lot of people were wondering, well, if you don't testify, are you going to have to pay your own legal defenses now and the fines that the court ordered?
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for being with us today.
Pleasure, Matt.
Tom Rosenstiel is the director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. He joined us from his home in Chevy Chase, Maryland. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.